Rock 102, Springfield's Classic Rock. It's 5:35 and Nirvana on Rock 102.
Who's ready for a nice day? Morning fog, that'll burn off. And then cloudy and dry and mild with a high of 70. And actually, even better tomorrow. Early clouds and mostly sunny, 73. But you know what? You can't complain when it's 60 degrees at 5:30 in the morning in October.
Well, you can complain when you see all the fog that's out there today.
Hey.
That's going to burn off like around 8 o'clock, but yep. A lot of people driving before 8 o'clock.
And that's, yeah, that is fog. It's not a reignition of Bondi's Island.
No. Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
But some nasty fog out there today, so do be careful early this morning. Wouldn't be surprised if there are some issues as a result of it.
Do be careful.
Yes. There's all kinds of stuff going on this morning. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. It's 5:36 on Rock 102.
It's easy to get your Rock 102 fill.
Rock 102, Springfield's Classic Rock. It's just about 5:49. And you too on Rock 102.
Nice day today after the fog burns. It will be cloudy, but it will be dry and mild with a high of 70. Tomorrow into the 70s, but 60 right now in downtown Springfield.
Hey, what do you say we hop into some Hollywood trash with Steve?
I never thought I'd be reporting on a beef between Scott Baio and John Stamos.
I can't believe it took this long.
I can't believe... 2020, what have you done to us?
Yeah.
It's like you don't even know what to believe in anymore.
Politics have destroyed another American family, and this time it was one of the best families of them all, the Cunninghams from the Happy Days. On Monday, Ron Howard tweeted that he will be doing a cast reunion to benefit the Wisconsin Democratic Party. It's happening on Sunday, and he'll be joined by Marion, Mrs. C. Ross, Henry Fonzie Winkler, Donnie Ralph Mouth Most, and Anson Potsy Williams, plus additional cast members and special guests. But don't show up expecting to see Chachi. Scott Baio is a very vocal Republican and Trump supporter. And not only is he not taking part, he's livid it's even happening.
Oh, boy.
He said, "What a shame to use a classic show like Happy Days about Americana to promote an anti-American socialist." Hashtag shameful.
You sometimes have to wonder what Tom Bosley would think in a situation like this.
He'd roll over in his grave.
Actually, he died like 10 years ago this week.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So he'd roll over slowly.
Full House superstar John Stamos offered to jump in and play Chachi. And Scott Baio zinged him. He said, "Shouldn't you be taking care of Aunt Becky?"
Ooh! Oh, that's smart. That's going to leave a
Zing.
Mark.
Yeah. Charles Snap. Is, in fact, in charge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But man, the beef between Scott Baio and John Stamos.
You know,
I would love to be the beef between Scott Baio and John Stamos.
There's more than enough meat between the two of them.
That's quite a sandwich. Yeah.
But I think if it came down to a fisticuffs, I think you gotta side with Stamos on this. I think he's probably got a little bit more fight in him than Scott Baio.
And the reach.
John, I believe that's called a buchachi.
Yeah, it could be that. It's also a manwich.
Nicolas Cage won nearly $20,000 playing roulette in the Bahamas 30 years ago. He said he immediately went to an orphanage, handed over the money, and never gambled again because if I did, it would ruin the power of that moment.
Is that to allude to the idea that he'd never gambled before?
Well, I think he had a gambling problem.
Ah.
And he won the money, and he said, "Let me just give this away because..."
Yeah. Because winning solves gambling problems. Yes, of course.
Well, he's Nicolas Cage. Mm-hmm. He's quite a weird guy.
Quite weird.
Demi Lovato and Miley Cyrus have both made contact. Demi commuted with communed with aliens during a recent trip to the Joshua Tree, and Miley saw a UFO while driving through San Bernardino with a friend. So now they have something in common. They once were fighting, and now they have alien life forms as
in
a
common.
Talking point.
But that would actually explain quite a lot. Remember yesterday, John, you were talking about Miley Cyrus doing a cover of a Cranberry song?
Yeah, Zombie.
Came out yesterday that she is going to do a whole album of Metallica covers. I find that really hard to accept.
Well,
she seems to be incarnating herself into something new.
Yeah, well, it's one thing to sing Zombie.
Yeah.
It's another thing to sing Master of Puppets. I can't even imagine it.
Didn't Paul Anka do this? Who did the...
Pat Boone.
Yeah, but I think Paul Anka did some covers, too.
He might have.
I think he did, like, Nirvana and Metallica and things like that.
Well, Paul Anka can get away with it because the man's been kicking ass for a good 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I was in a store the other day, and I heard it was like a Frank Sinatra takeoff of a Bon Jovi song.
Yeah, that is Scott Bradley in the Postmodern Jukebox.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
They sing all these, like, pop songs in lounge style.
Kind of like
music.
Richard Cheese.
It was cool.
Very much like Richard Cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? Ripping off Richard.
Actually, these people sound better than Richard Cheese. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I don't know.
Be careful what you say, Steve.
Universal has greenlit two more Fast and Furious movies because, you know, why not go for a 10th and 11th? But they'll reportedly be the final two in the series.
Sure it will be.
There's also the ninth movie, F9, which has been delayed by the pandemic. So they haven't even finished 9, and they're already planning on 10 and 11.
Well, Steve, those kinds of things need some advanced planning. You don't just do that in an afternoon.
I'm going to guess that they will rescind that whole, this is the last two episodes, based entirely on how the next episode does. Like, if it's raking in big bucks, they'll find a way to keep this thing going.
Probably. Anything you
sequels.
Make money off it.
That's where the money's at. Sequels.
Bachelor and Bachelorette producers have been known to track contestants' menstrual cycles so they can interview them during that time of the month. It increases the emotion and the drama.
I had no idea.
Can you imagine being, that's your job? Hey, track her. See what's going on over there.
I'm sorry, we can't interview you for another 3.5 days.
Yeah. Well, why? The camera's broken.
Timing. Wrong timing.
Yeah. Disney Plus is developing a show based on the 1988 movie Willow. Warwick Davis will be back in the title role. He was 18 when the first movie came out, and
inches?
Now he's 50. Yeah, I know.
Because he's very short.
I never saw that. I know what it was. I never saw it.
I think I did see it, but the memories of it have passed me by.
Do you remember this, John?
I'm quite certain I've never even heard of it.
He's a little person, and it was like kind of Dungeons and Dragony kind of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's very Middle Earth type of thing.
Let's see. In his new Netflix documentary, Shawn Mendes claims that every song he's ever written was about his girlfriend, Camila Cabello. The documentary is called In Wonder, and it premieres in November. You don't even know who those people are, do you?
Nope. I'm pretty much out on this whole thing.
And, lordy, lordy, look who's 40. Guess whose birthday it is today?
Mick Jagger.
What's her name there?
Kim Kardashian.
No kidding.
She's 40 years old.
No.
She said her plans are to blow out the candles and treat herself to a facial.
Well, she must have had something to say.
Oh, my God. The last time I blew out anything and got a facial was when I climbed up Ray J's scrotum pole to get a load of organzola cheese dip in that sex tape you can purchase on YouPorn for $39.95. Hey, guys, get a load of this guy.
Caitlin?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I never got that done and dirty with your mother, Chris Kim, but I once had her taste the Cyclops meat clown.
Mm-hmm.
Played a little car park karaoke.
Okay, what are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is she gave me a Mohegan steamer.
Great.
We were in Uncasville over the weekend.
I got you.
Oh, I see.
And Kanye?
That's not what your country can do for you, but what your country can do with 76 Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we can do.
Right around the ranch?
Right around my ranch out in Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
Such an injustice. I get the feeling you don't appreciate this anymore.
I wouldn't say that.
And that's Hollywood T-Raj, your Rock 102.
From the couch when we come back. It is 6:01. at Rock 102.
Did you know that
Bax's View from the Couch, brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware, Outdoor Power Headquarters, Steel, Ego, and Craftsman, Rocky's Outdoor Power Trifecta.
Hey, good morning, sports fans. How the heck are you? Folks, what is it about the disgruntled professional athlete that makes him so damn difficult to deal with? I mean, let's say that somebody gave me a five-year contract worth $90 million. I'd probably find a way to be happy with that. In fact, I might even go out of my way to be the happiest damn fella in the entire office. Granted, my salary comes in a little bit lower than that, so perhaps it's hard for me to walk in another man's shoes. And yet, if I were Odell Beckham Jr., and I was expecting to make $14.5 million this season to play with the Cleveland Browns, or in his case, not play very much for the Cleveland Browns, I would be perfectly okay with that. And yet, according to NFL insiders, there are apparent rumblings that Odell Beckham Jr. has been requesting a trade. Some of the speculation follows the sideline tirade that occurred this Sunday when the Browns were getting their clocks cleaned by the Pittsburgh Steelers 38-7, thereby ramping up the rumors that Odell wants out. So where would he go? Certainly not going to go back to the Giants who traded him in 2018. Instead, there appears to be growing speculation that the Browns could trade him to the New England Patriots. With the NFL's trading deadline set for next week, there is growing belief that with the Patriots in desperate need of a guy who can catch footballs, Odell Beckham is exactly the sort of disgruntled former first-round draft pick that they are looking for. Now, I don't know if the Patriots are actually interested in making a trade with the Cleveland Browns. There's also rumors that the Patriots are willing to make a trade with the Cincinnati Bengals for wide receiver John Ross, who, like so many players before him, have also requested to be traded from the Bengals. Ross is younger, faster, possibly even cheaper, and yet the only ones not making any trade rumors at all for a wide receiver are the New England Patriots themselves, who don't talk about these kinds of things anyway. And yet it's pretty clear getting a guy who can catch a football would probably be a pretty good idea, since the Patriots apparently don't have anybody who has that ability. At least not yet. But hey, enough of my yapping. Sports brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware. You know, I know a few big words here and there, like rodenticide. Pest control materials intended to kill rodents. Exactly what you need right now. Oh, those nasty buggers are coming into the house, and they're looking to become permanent residents. You go to your neighborhood Rocky's Ace Hardware for a plentitude of rodenticide, and you see how things change. Good people, rock solid service at every Rocky's Ace Hardware. I'm Bax. That's my view from the couch. It's 6:08 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
The morning fog will burn off, but that doesn't necessarily mean there'll be sun. In fact, it'll be cloudy today, but dry and mild, a high of 70. Tomorrow, even better, morning clouds and afternoon sun, and a high of 73, 60 right now in downtown Springfield.
This isn't happening today, but tomorrow we're going to be talking to Jeff Plate from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. You've talked to him before. And
many times.
Many times. Yeah, you know, with COVID, I think this may be the very first year in years that they were not touring around the world. So they're doing some alternative stuff this year. So we'll tell you more about that tomorrow morning on the show.
Yeah, depressing. Be the first time in I don't know how many years. I won't be going to what I usually average is two shows. I usually go to one either in Hartford or down in one of the casinos in Connecticut, and then a second one somewhere else in the local area.
Well, I think they're looking to do in some sort of streaming event.
Yep,
but it's not, you know, any streaming performance that I've seen, it's good, but it ain't the same.
Well, I mean, I asked, I was asking even Paul O'Neill back before he passed why they never put together a DVD. And he just, I don't even remember his answer, but he kind of poo-pooed it. But can you record streaming like it's a DVR?
I want to say you can if you've got the right software to do it.
Oh, but you'd have to have like special software?
Well, maybe, but I think you also need special permissions too to do it. If you were going to distribute it, obviously, that'd be the...
Well, I'm
the
not
big thing. No, I know you're not, but I mean, you know, there's always some rat bastard out there that's looking to make a dime off their hard work.
Speaking of rat bastards, we touched on this a little bit yesterday. I think it was later in the show, but I didn't have quite the details about it that I have right now. There is a big increase in rats and rodents in homes, in Massachusetts because of COVID. And when I was mentioning this yesterday, I thought it was mainly based on the closing of restaurants. It's really not. It's more about, because people are stuck at home, they are creating more trash. And they're also not necessarily cleaning as often as they should or would normally, not during the pandemic. Here's a interesting scenario. Example. Today is garbage day in my neighborhood. Now, last night when I came home, I put out my recyclable bin, and I took the trash from my kitchen out to the trash bin in the garage, which turned out to have been empty. I am making, for some reason, less trash during the pandemic. I didn't even bother putting the trash out to the curb because I only have one bag.
Are you making less trash, or are you just putting less stuff in the bucket? Like there's trash all over the place. You just haven't put it in one particular area.
Nope. The only thing that's lying around is a pizza box, because I just can't decide where to put that, how to throw that away. I know you can't put that in the recycles. So I've got like a 3-week-old pizza box just lying around.
3 weeks.
Yeah, probably 3 weeks.
Man, I mean, I'll go maybe a third day for 3 weeks. That's almost like aggressively not throwing stuff away.
17% of households in Massachusetts have seen an increase in pests during the lockdown, naturally because people have been working and schooling from home during social distancing. The waste that they produce on a daily basis is condensed to the household in which they live. Therefore, a household consisting of more people working or schooling remotely is bound to produce more garbage than usual. Again, this is, I'm not really a good example of this by living alone, but right. For people, 1 in 3 households report having a substantial increase in their own garbage since the lockdown began, and they admit they're cleaning their homes less often.
Well, I got to admit that, you know, we're not cleaning the house as much as we normally would, because when we're home, we are distracted with other things. So that makes a little bit of sense. But as far as the stuff we're throwing away, I don't think our output of trash has changed much at all. There's still two of us. We may be recycling a little bit more, but we're not throwing away any more trash than normal. You know, like tomorrow is our trash day. Probably have like 3, you know, kitchen size bags that's in the bucket right now. I mean, it's only Wednesday, but there's probably like 3 in there since last Thursday when they picked it up.
I don't understand how cleaning less often produces more garbage.
Well, it depends.
Seemingly it would be less garbage.
If you're like not throwing like food, you know, like not like items of food, but like, you know, food wrappers and stuff like that, I can see where that kind of accumulates. But as far as like rats and mice, right now we don't really have that problem. We're having a problem with like stink bugs getting into the house.
Stink bugs?
Yeah. You know what a stink bug is?
I've heard of it, but I thought it was made up.
No, it's not. It's a stink bug. It's a kind of bug. And when you kill it, doesn't smell all that good. That's why they call it.
Oh, when you kill it.
Yeah.
It doesn't use stink as a defensive mechanism. It's just when you kill it.
I think that's the case. If you kill it, sometimes it's just it's gross. So what I'll typically do is I'll take like a tissue. I'll grab the stink bug, because they're slow-moving bugs. And then I'll just like let them, you know, fly outside. You know, open the door and throw them out there.
They fly?
Yeah, no, they'll fly.
But again, so if you go to grab it with the tissue, it doesn't use the stink as a defense mechanism.
No.
Like a skunk would. I mean, you run over a skunk with your car, you're going to get the stink.
Sure.
But the skunk uses the stink as a defense mechanism.
Yeah,
stink,
I think.
Stink bug, not so much.
I don't think that's the case. I think if you kill a stink bug and you get its guts all over the place, like on your shoe or a fly swatter, it's going to stink up a little bit. It's not terrible. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but no one wants a stinky house if you can help it.
But nevertheless, even though it may not be a defense mechanism, it still gets its name,
right?
Stink bug.
See, again, you know, those are the only things we're chasing. When it comes to, like, you know, trash and garbage and recycling, Yeah, so Jenny's teaching from home, so she's spoken for. I mean, her time in the afternoon is pretty much done. Mm. And I'm usually in the other room also doing the schoolwork to see if I can pass.
Yeah, and I hear you're staying back.
If ironically, I see the teacher after school almost every single day.
Yeah, yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah, I know, I do. I don't feel tardy.
Yeah, but you're nervous and your socks are too loose.
That's accurate.
The pandemic-driven closure of the restaurants has forced rodents to find new food sources. Without food waste to consume, they are scavenging new areas as well as exhibiting unusual or aggressive behavior. Unusual behavior from rodents.
Well, like what? What kind of unusual behavior?
That's what I like to know about it. You know, possibly offensive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe attacking people or going after dogs and cats.
Maybe going after themselves
or each other.
Yeah. What was that book? Was it Lord of the Flies? Isn't that the one where like they're all on an island and they start eating the kids that died?
Am I thinking
of something different?
I'm not sure.
Either way, I can see in desperate times if you're some sort of ground slithering vermin that you're looking for anything you can get.
Here's the good thing. Now, like I just said, 17% of households in Massachusetts have seen an increase. In other parts of New England, New Hampshire has seen a 50% increase. 50%. Connecticut and Maine, 30%. And Rhode Island and Vermont, less than 15.
So that's a little unusual because, you know, it is the time of year, mm-hmm. typically, especially now that it's, you know, the fall, temperatures getting down. There's some areas of Maine that saw snow over the weekend, and, you know, New Hampshire gets kind of cold. Once the cold weather starts coming through, you know, that's when mice and rats tend to try to get into a house to stay warm. And, you know, they'll eat anything. They'll eat insulation, you know, wood, cardboard, toilet paper rolls, anything.
They'll eat the whole house.
It can cause a lot of damage. You get like a squirrel in your attic, mm-hmm. that can really mess up your attic.
Hell yeah. In fact, if you remember, the mouse, remember like 2 months ago, I thought I heard a mouse in the walls?
Yes.
I don't know whether it found its way out or died of starvation. Although, now when those things chew on those wires,
sure.
they're not actually consuming the wires, are they? They're not using as, it's not being used as sustenance.
Well, I think they're attempting to, because they don't really know much from, you know, electrical work.
Right, but that's not keeping them alive, I wouldn't think.
No, but I mean, there's other materials that are in your house that, you know, that maybe not survivable, you know, food, but it won't stop them from trying.
Well, I haven't heard a single noise in the walls like I did a couple of months ago. My guess is it either left or it died. I haven't smelled any stinks either.
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, are you smelling when a rodent dies in your walls? It typically smells to high hell.
Well, when you live alone during a pandemic, the house may tend to smell to high hell anyway. So it could be just that it's melding in with the other smells.
And you're not noticing it because you're always there. Yeah,
exactly.
I suppose. But even the smell of death is a pretty recognizable stink. You know, it's like
rodent death.
Yeah, exactly. Like typically you can smell that. Mm. Now, it's also possible that the rodent, if it was in your walls, found its way out.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That does happen.
You could probably find his way out.
He was probably so bored with observing you every day. He's like,
listening to the show.
If there's a way I could grab the dog and get out of here, I would do it.
Well, he's like, you know what? I've heard enough of this live stuff. I'm just going to listen to the podcast.
I don't know.
Took off and logged in.
I don't know, the mouse.
You never know.
The mouse has connectivity like that.
Or he has his own place to live, his own mouse pad.
Oh, yeah, I see what you have, mouse pad. Yeah. That's very clever.
Sure, that could very well be it.
Yeah, I have not seen that problem yet. But I also know that, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, you know, we got this pellet stove in our living room. And there were mice in the ceiling, you know, about where the stack goes on so this pellet stove. See, I mean, you could hear them kind of, you know, fiddling around. And every time they would, they'd scratch around, you'd see like all this... for lack of a better term, you know, like this insulation kind of like falling from the ceiling because they were, you know, trying to get in there, trying to get all toasty warm.
Right, right.
I had
Setting up a living quarter right next to the stack.
Exactly. So I had to hire a man to go in there, a man with skills, knowledge, and tools to spray various poisons and rat-killing, mouse-killing substances all over that that attic area. And I have not had a problem since.
Did he just spray it into the area, or did he actually go in and find a mouse community?
I don't think he found a mouse community, but he did spray some stuff in there. I think he also had a couple of poisons spread around the attic area, which is very, you know, it's very small. It's, I mean, it's still a ranch, but there's a crawl space up above, and no mice or rats. I hope this year continues to be the same.
Once again, if it killed them and then they decompose in your ceiling, you're going to get the stink too.
But I didn't smell anything, which makes me think they ate the poison, said, I got to get out of here.
Oh, it doesn't kill them right away.
Bolted, and then that was it. Yeah.
I'd rather kill them on the spot.
Yeah, I know.
Although I know, then the dead mouse is stuck in your house somewhere, and the stink might do something. But either that, or they immediately start coughing, you know, coughing it up a little bit, and then they're like, "Get back to the wife and kids," and then you know they slowly crawl, making their way back out of your house. And by the time they hit the fresh air, boom, that's when they die.
See, I'm gonna guess it was kind of like Chernobyl. Like my crawl space was kind of like Chernobyl. Like the mice had like a couple of good hours, and then all of a sudden, they didn't feel so hot until like the end of the movie when everybody starts to melt. You know what I mean? I'm going to guess that's probably what happened.
Well, either way, they're gone.
Yeah, and that's you know, whether it's a restaurant or the fact I'm not picking up as much. I don't know. I just don't want them in my house.
Who cares? Who cares how they got there? Why they're there? Now they're gone.
Exactly. 623 with Bax and O'Brien of Rock 102.
Leah Toyota Wilbraham.
It's 626 with Bax and O'Brien of Rock 102.
I just ran a commercial there for Bay State Health a minute or so ago. And I got to tell you, as someone who's spent a considerable amount of time in Bay State over the last, say, 10 years, I can say comfortably that I would like to see many of them conduct the kind of protest that was done yesterday in Barcelona. In Barcelona, Spain, it looks like the entire, well, not the entire staff, but most of the staff of this hospital, doctors and nurses, held a protest in a courtyard outside of the hospital in which they stripped down.
And they were chased by bulls?
No, much better than that. They stripped down and to their underwear. In the case of male doctors, pretty much down to boxer shorts. In the case of the female doctors, down to bras and panties, leaving their white coats on, and then you know, chanting things in Spanish, which I don't understand, and holding signs in Spanish as well. But right down to the bras and panties out in the parking lot.
What were they protesting specifically?
It's something about COVID. To highlight the, you know, the amount of effect that the COVID virus is having on the healthcare community.
Well, listen, I'm very much against COVID in nearly every sense of the word, but I'm not stripping down to my underpants to do it.
Actually, I think it's indirectly COVID. They strip down to their underwear to highlight claims that they are on low salaries, don't get enough rest, and have a lack of supervision. Well, I'll tell you what. They're going to get some supervision here.
Yeah, I know. Couldn't they get the same message out with a cardboard sign?
Apparently not,
rather,
they've got that too.
I know, but you know, just because someone's down to their underpants doesn't mean you want to see them in their underpants.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Right. Some of them you do.
Yeah, I know.
And I bet you'd see a lot faster recoveries if patients were being treated by doctors and nurses in their panties and bras.
I don't know if that's true.
Let's laugh.
Tell me what's funny.
It's Bax and O'Brien's joke of the day.
Well, it's nice to find a fellow with a keen sense of humor.
On Rock 102.
Joke of the day brought to you by Gale Toyota. Go see Crazy J Day to sell your car or truck or online at GaleToyota.com.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
Springfield's classic rock.
Two young boys walk into a drugstore and pick out a box of tampons.
Yes.
And then go to the checkout counter. And the clerk at the counter asks the older boy, he says, son, how old are you? And the boy says, I'm 8 years old. And the man goes, well, do you know what these are used for? And the kid goes, not exactly, but they aren't for me. They're for him. And he points at the other kid. He goes, he's my brother. He's 4 years old. We saw on TV that if you use these, you can swim and ride a bike. And right now, he can't do either. They have women on the commercials riding bikes. The kid thinks the tampon's going to help him learn to ride a bike. Booyah!
P3 with Max and O'Brien to Rock 102. It's time for news, and it is brought to you by Servio Locksmith. They got a key for that. Here's local radio icon and first responder Steve Nagel.
Benvenidos, Quarantinos.
Muchos gracias, Premier Respondedor.
Si, senor.
A woman was seriously hurt late Tuesday afternoon after a big dog attacked her several times in Enfield, Connecticut, causing an on-duty officer to kill it. The Enfield Police Department said the officer was responding to a call on Spring Street around 4:30 p.m. when the officer saw the dog, described as a large pit bull, attack the woman nearby. Immediately, the officer approached the injured woman while the dog was still biting her foot and noticed severe lacerations and tissue damage to the woman's foot. The dog's owners were in the area and were able to briefly stop the pit bull from further attacking the woman by pouring hot water on it. Police say the dog then lunged at the woman's neck area, bit her, and began to pull her back into the front yard of the property from the sidewalk. To avoid any further injuries to the woman, Enfield police said the officer dispatched the dog. Police did not say whether the dog was on a leash. The woman who was attacked and seriously injured was treated by EMS personnel who were called to the location. No word on her current condition. The Enfield Police Department wishes to stress the action such as this is only taken under extraordinary circumstances. This outcome, while unfortunate, appears to have been unavoidable from any further harm or additional injury. The incident is still under review.
That's nasty.
It's horrible. It's a horrible thing. And I can't even imagine witnessing something like that, let alone being the victim of something like that.
Yeah. Or having it's not easy to hit a moving target, and obviously, you know, unless the dog was so focused on the woman that you could just basically walk up to it and put a gun to its head and dispatch it, with everybody probably running around, like you said, the dog's owners were in the area. I'm sure that probably means pretty close by if they were running off to get hot water and running back to throw the hot water. It's that's horrible.
A Cincinnati man is facing assault and unlawful weapons charges early Tuesday at the Holiday Inn Express on State Street after he reportedly threatened the desk clerk with guns during an argument that began after he was accused of smoking in his smoke-free room. There is no smoking in the smoke-free room.
Didn't the room actually have a sign that said no smoking in the smoke-free room?
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
I'm sure there's at least a few of them, not to mention a complete lack of ashtrays.
You know, we were in a hotel one time a couple of years ago, and somebody had been, you could clearly smell, somebody had been smoking cigarettes in one of the rooms nearby.
Right.
And my kid said, why does it smell like Nana's house in here?
It is a very lingering stink. I mean, There's been one or two times when, you know, my place down in Florida, I rent, and it's clearly marked on a contract that there's no smoking allowed. And my property manager went in there one time, and thankfully, the lanai, which is outdoors, but connected to the house, smelled of cigarette smoke. And thankfully, that stink hadn't emanated into the house. Otherwise... Well, first of all, I would have made a serious amount of money off of the deposit. But secondly, it's just, you know, that's one of those smells that doesn't go away for a long time.
Yeah, my parents used to smoke in the house all the time. And I remember after my dad passed away and my mother was down in Florida, and one of the things us kids were going to do was paint.
Right.
It took like 3 gallons of that kill stuff, that primer, to get rid of the yellow on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
And everywhere. It was disgusting.
In my my sad divorced guy apartment in Chicopee, I lived in a multi-family house in which I believe...
Which is ironic. A multi-family house.
Let me just say multi-unit house. Everybody in that house, I believe their sole occupation was chain smoking. Like they were they were doing it professionally. Like it never... That's all they could do.
They're probably all other people in your position who may or may not have taken up smoking because of the demise of their relationship.
I don't know. There, I mean, the half of the people that were living in there in that house were in a relationship at the time that I was there. So it wasn't just for sad divorced men. I mean, it was not. No. I mean, anybody could have rented it. But the problem is that with all that smoking going on, it permeated the entire building.
Sure.
And even though there was no smoking in my side of the building, everything smelled like smoke. Everything. Mm-hmm. There was no getting around it.
Well, you say no smoking on your side of the building, but the previous tenant of the very unit you lived in might have been a smoker.
He was, but you know, there was a good 18 months before I moved out of that place. And yet, even though no smoking, that smell still remained.
Yeah.
So I kept very little of the things that were in that apartment when I finally moved out of it, because I couldn't get the sink out of it.
Anyway, 36-year-old Eddie Payne is charged with 2 counts of assault by means of a dangerous weapon and carrying a firearm without a license, 3 counts of possession of a large-capacity magazine, and single counts of assault and battery. Police spokesman Ryan Walsh said officers were dispatched to the hotel just before 4:30 a.m. for a reported disturbance.
They were killed?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm not sure how that pit bull was dispatched and these officers were dispatched.
I'm just putting that together now.
Yeah.
No, they were not killed.
Oh.
Hey, did you kill that hotel clerk last night? No, but I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express.
Wow, not bad. And I was dispatched.
Yes, the hotel clerk reported getting into an argument with Payne, and that as it grew heated, Payne pulled out 2 handguns and pointed them at the clerk.
Two of them. He pulled. It's the old.
It's like the Wild
Western.
West.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, boy. Rooting, tooting, shooting up the Holiday Inn.
Yeah. Yosemite Sam staying at the Holiday Inn downtown.
I asked you for 2 towels and I only got 1. Stupid.
I asked for an ashtray and I'm still waiting.
Stupid idiot.
The clerk began fighting with Payne, and it spilled out of the lobby and into the street, where another guest was unloading items from his car. The clerk was able to wrestle away one of Payne's guns and handed it to the other guest. Payne reportedly pointed his gun at them before turning and running away. He was later found hiding in his car along with one of his guns and an additional magazine. The other guest was a retired sheriff's deputy from the eastern part of the state, and he gave the gun to police. Walsh said the fight originally began as a dispute about Payne smoking in his room. The hotel, of course, did not allow smoking in any rooms or any common areas inside the building.
But I mean, you know, the clerk gets into a... The guy pulls 2 guns, and the clerk gets into it with him instead of either just hiding or going into a room and locking a door and calling 911. He gets into it with him. He takes his gun away, and then he hands it off. He hands it off to another guest. Here, do me a favor before you go to your room. Please take this gun. It's like, what the hell is going on there?
Oh, he was a cop? Oh, I thought I was giving it to the concierge. Damn.
The article finishes off by saying, you know, how much the fine is for carrying a, you know, illegal firearm and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I bet you the way the court system works around here, this guy is going to get hit with a $500 fine for smoking before he faces any of the other charges that he gets.
Well, that's the worst fine. That's the worst charge.
Well, plus, you know, the hotel has his credit card, so they'll probably just take the smoking fee right off of it.
What are you talking about, a $250 cleaning fee?
You idiot.
Again, you know, it, like, yeah, bullets are dangerous, and guns are dangerous, too, but that secondhand smoke will kill you.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about the bullets. Governor Charlie Baker on Tuesday said Massachusetts residents are stuck with him for a while, noting he's committed to completing his term despite being named among other moderate Republicans under consideration for a cabinet post in a potential Joe Biden administration. You're going to be stuck with me for at least the next 2 years anyway, Baker told reporters in a news conference in Revere. It's flattering to be considered, but I like the job that I have. Well,
that's pretty wild. Republican governor being considered for a Democratic cabinet.
It's happened before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't see him taking it.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, obviously, they're not even speculating on which cabinet position it is, but I don't know. I would say depends on which one it is.
It's probably that liberal pussy cabinet. That's what it is.
Yeah, they don't actually have a cabinet for them.
No, they've got a box. Mm. They change the litter once a week. I can't see a situation where he takes a position with Joe Biden. I don't think to be honest, I don't know if he's got any real desire to go at the federal level. I think he likes doing what he's doing, even though, you know, this year in particular has been very hard on the guy.
Yeah, but how many times have you heard anybody say, well, I'm not going to run for president and I'm not going to do this, and then they wind up running for president, or they wind up, you know, doing something they said they would never
do? Because there are usually powers larger than them that are motivating them to do it. But I don't think that's the case with Charlie Baker, at least not now.
Yeah. Once again, you know, for all the people who say that they're leaving a job because they want to spend more time with their family, you don't know whether or not the family really wants them to spend more time with them. So, you know, Charlie might be at a point in his life where the kids are moved out and the empty nesting has gotten a little old, and he might be getting an offer in D.C. and he goes, you know what? I really wasn't thinking about this 2 years ago, but what the hell? I could use 5 days away from this place. Come home on the weekends.
See,
let's
get the governor back on the phone. Where the hell's that guy been? And we haven't talked to him in months.
It's been a while.
You gotta talk to him before he gets to the big leagues. Because then he's never gonna talk to us ever again after he does that.
Yeah, it's kinda like when when John Kerry was just a US senator?
I would like to thank my constituents.
But did we ever really want to talk to him again anyway?
I think after the first three times, we're like, I don't know if I can handle this again.
Mm. Although we had Mitt Romney on a few times.
Yeah, Mitt was a good interview.
Yeah.
Mitt was a damn good interview. But deal.
Yeah, but see if you can get Charlie.
All right.
We're overdue.
The city of Holyoke plans to waive restaurant and club liquor license renewal fees for the 2021 season, along with the fees for renewing entertainment and automatic amusement devices license. The city's license board adopted the policy at an October 14th meeting. According to Mayor Alex Morse's office, the pandemic affects the livelihood of local business owners and employees. Waiving renewal fees is a good faith gesture in solidarity with local businesses to help in these times. So this is just the renewal. The actual cost of a liquor license is still ridiculously high, right? Because you buy it off whoever is the last person.
If you're buying a place that has a liquor license.
That should be illegal. That whole process should be illegal. So you're telling me that a liquor license in Northampton is worth $100,000 more than it is worth in Holyoke?
Yeah.
I mean,
seem... How are you making that...
Because there are liquor licenses out there that you've heard cost, $100,000 to $200,000.
Well, I mean, think about it. It's almost like a supply and demand type of thing. Each town has a finite number of available licenses, and the less you have, the more valuable they become.
And the establishments that have them, you know, a hole-in-the-wall bar's liquor license is not going to be as valuable as a place that's packed every night of the week and has people waiting outside the door to get in.
I just don't think it's fair to a small business owner who can't afford that kind of thing. If you want to open a bar slash restaurant and need a liquor license, yet the liquor license in whatever town you're in is ridiculously high.
It might not be a bad idea that if you have a liquor license and you give up the business, you turn the license back into the state. And then the state can reissue it to a new owner.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah, you know? From the very beginning, as opposed to it being transferable and therefore profitable.
I just think that, you know, any town or any city, no matter where you are in this country, makes it very hard for people to do small business anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because of all these extra licensing fees. You know, they're talking about not only this liquor license renewal, but the entertainment, amusement devices, things like that. It's ridiculous how much they charge. You're getting banged for every little, kind of like nitpicking everything.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's how these cities and towns make their money.
Meanwhile,
and, you know, they talked last about a month or so ago about the amount of money that Springfield lost as a result of waiving things like that since the pandemic started.
Then on the other hand, you had a guy like Chef Wayne who had Big Mamu open for years without a liquor license. I mean, he was offered it time and time again, but refused to accept it. One, he didn't want the liability, and then two, you know, he had a situation where people were able to bring their own. That was a whole lot easier for him to manage than if he's got a liquor license.
A 37-year-old man named Bradley Young went into a Walmart in North Naples, Florida on Sunday and took about $1,000 worth of items to a self-checkout, including a scooter, a navigation system, and batteries. But he hid a packet of Kool-Aid in his hand, so he pretended he was scanning his big items, but he was really just scanning the barcode on the Kool-Aid over and over.
Oh,
what a good scam.
Man.
That made everything ring up to $24, so Bradley's total was under $25, but a security guard spotted him and recognized him when he tried to shoplift some stuff from the same store back in August, so he called the police. And Bradley was arrested as he was leaving the store.
Did he run through the wall and say, "Oh yeah!"
Like that's how the cops came in,
like the Kool-Aid guy would do.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how it happened.
You know, I mean, that is I use the self-serve, the self-checkout all the time, and you know, the way I shop, a lot of times I'll bring my reusable bag in. If I remember, I bring the reusable bag in. I use the Lonely Man cart, the smallest little cart they have. And as I pick up items that I want to buy, I immediately put them into that bag. And then when I go to the register, I simply take the items from the bag and then run them through the register, usually leave them on the belt because I don't want to mix the paid merchandise with the unpaid merchandise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and if I buy multiple versions of the same thing, I scan them all separately. I wonder if that's really necessary, or if you can just keep hold. Like if I bought, here's a perfect example. If I bought 5 fruit pies, do I have to scan each of the fruit pies, or can I scan the same fruit pie 5 times?
Well, I think it depends a lot on the store, because if you go to some grocery stores, they will scan 1 5 times. But some stores will scan everything individually.
Individually.
But I think it depends on the store.
But again, you know, like what this guy did, if I scan a fruit pie for every item that I have, many of which are well above the price of the said fruit pie, and then I walk out of there having paid only for a handful of fruit pies, when in fact I've spent, you know, I should have spent much more than that. That seems easy to get away with. I mean, there's always an employee there, but they're there to help people that are having a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much they're actually monitoring you and watching you.
One time when a Stop and Shop first started putting these in years ago, I went, I got everything out to the car. I go all the way home, and I realized that I didn't pay for a thing of rolls.
Okay.
So I went back to the store.
You're kidding me.
And I went up to the courtesy desk and I said, you know, I didn't pay for these. I want to pay for them now. I didn't mean to not do this.
I would have eaten the rolls and killed off the evidence.
And this this kid behind the counter looked at me like I had two heads. Like,
yeah,
why didn't you just take the rolls?
Yeah, what are you doing back here, pal?
Because I have a conscience.
But if you didn't do it on purpose, I did it myself. I think I did it with a steak or two, maybe five.
Like an animal house where you get the steak shoves down your pants.
Yeah, no, I didn't even have to do that. But I realized I didn't run that through. Damn it. And I felt bad for a moment.
Until you ate the steaks and realized they were delicious.
No, I didn't eat the steaks for several days, but the guilt of accidentally taking them, that passed rather quickly.
Yeah, see, I can't do that. I have to own up to it. I can't just take something. I believe in karma. I believe if you do something bad, something bad's going to happen to you.
I agree with you, Steve, when you do something bad intentionally.
It's a bag of rolls. What was it going to cost you? Less than $3?
$1.59.
$1.59.
You spent more on gas going back to the store.
You think Stop and Shop is going to crumble to their knees because you walked out of their store with a $1.59 bag of rolls?
Regardless if it was a $1.59 bag of rolls.
Or a $500 bag of rolls.
The comfort knowing that I did the right thing is priceless, and you can't.
You wasted more money in gasoline trying to pay for them rolls you pinched off that place than if you had actually paid for it.
And actually was. It was when like gas was like four something a gallon, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So you can, in fact, put a price on that.
Look, I'm just trying to do the right thing, okay?
Yeah, intent. To me, is far more important.
Like, I thought about doing the right thing, but I wasn't going to drive back to the store.
No, I mean, like, you didn't think about stealing the rolls. You just accidentally stole the rolls. So, you know what? Take the barcode off of the rolls, put it in your pocket, and the next time you go back to the store, if you want, you can say to them, hey, by the way, last time I was here, I didn't pay for these rolls, and here they are. Meanwhile, you've already eaten the rolls, and they're gone.
I don't know. I'll do things my way, and you will do things your way.
I'm just
thief.
Trying to save you from having to do things.
You're
your
a
way.
Thief. Thief.
I'm not a thief if I didn't mean to do it.
You know, much
yeah,
like.
You, but you're a thief because you knowingly once you realized you did it, you didn't do anything about it.
I don't know
a
how
different
the law
kind of thief.
I don't know how the law works, but much like the rolls or any perishables, doesn't guilt have an expiration date too?
Yeah, the second you walk out the door.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
I can't believe I work with you two immoral.
Hey, I'm
idiots.
A very honest person, Steve. I just there's a difference between people who steal intentionally, just like I believe that there's a difference between people who steal food because they are hungry, as opposed to people who steal food to sell for drug money.
Well, how are you going to tell the difference?
Yeah, you follow them.
Suppose you're both. Days. Suppose you need it for drug money because. Need the money for food.
Yeah, what if you get munchies after you do that whole thing of meth?
That's why you got to follow them for a couple of days.
You're a Pioneer Valley forecast.
When the remaining of your teeth are all covered with, like, orange from the bag of Cheetos you just got, is that such a crime?
Your Pioneer Valley forecast today going to be foggy this morning, then cloudy by this afternoon, high of 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 73. It is 63 right now in downtown Springfield. I'm Steve Nagel, and that's the news on Rock 102. Aw, yeah.
Getting better.
It's 6:58 with Bax and O'Brien on Rock 102. Rock 102's Pro Picks pool is underway at rock102.com. It's your call football. Weekly winners could win a $25 gift certificate to Mama Mia's Pizzeria with daily deli specials and a brand spanking new menu. The overall season winner gets a $500 cash card courtesy of Nor'easter Organic Life Hydroponics, and someone could win $50,000 by playing Rock 102's Pro Picks with other listeners around the country for to win the national prize. So check your stats, go with your gut, and play Rock 102 Pro Picks pool from Nor'easter Organic Life Hydroponics and Rock 102 Springfield Classic Rock.
I saw an article this morning that seemingly like, I don't understand why that's news. The Charlie Brown holiday specials, the Grey Pumpkin and the Christmas special are moving this year to Apple TV Plus after 20 years on ABC. And I thought, yeah, okay, well, 20 years, that's something. But when we were kids, those specials were on CBS from 1965 to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between 65 and that's 35 years.
Yeah.
Versus 20 years on ABC. It's like, big deal. 20 years on ABC? You had 35-year run on CBS.
20 years is still a good long run on any network. The fact that they are now relegated to the streaming services, I think says something terrible about the networks.
Well, I'm guessing there's not as much value in having them anymore.
Well, exactly. I mean, they're not seeing it as valuable, and people will not see... You know, seek these things out with the networks anymore because they can watch them all year long.
That's it. And that's why they're not valuable anymore. I mean, when you think about, like, doesn't somebody start airing The Grinch the day after Thanksgiving? It used to be it was a one single airing probably 2 weeks before Christmas. Now, you can see the thing 100 different times.
And more importantly, the kids today have no real understanding of what that was like when we were kids.
No.
I mean, you remember being a kid and how excited you were that the Grinch was going to be on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like, it was like the greatest day of the year, apart from Christmas itself.
And you were there. You were there in front of the television Tuesday night at 7:55 to prepare for it.
And then they put it out on VHS and then DVD and then all of a sudden now.
And then TNT. And the you know, the cable networks.
And they're running it 24 hours a day. The next thing you know, it doesn't have the same sheen that it used to.
No.
Kids today don't have any understanding or appreciation of those old Rankin and Bass, stop lapse photography, specials that we used to love. None of that stuff means anything to those kids today.
Kids.
I know. They don't know what they're missing.
I don't know. They have no idea how much better life was before they came along.
It's 701 Rock 102.
The Bax and O'Brien podcast.